First news, it's fair, it's accurate. You get the damn truth. Joe Biden swept into Israel yesterday for a seven-hour visit. Offered support to the Israeli people. Even offered millions of humanitarian aid to the people in Gaza. Biden, though, warned Israel to not let rage affect them. Even after these deadly Hamas attacks that want to annihilate the entire Israeli population. Biden urged Israel to step back from the brink. He said if you would do so, it would ease the growing tensions in the Middle East, but it would not stop Hamas or Hezbollah and their attacks on the Jewish people. He said finding a way to step back would be for the greater good of the world, but it wouldn't be for the greater good of Israel. Israel pretty much wants him to butt out. They're ready to move in. Biden made progress, he said, when he spoke to the Egyptian president, who agreed to reopen his country's sealed border crossing with Gaza. For one thing, it will allow 20 trucks to carry supplies over to Palestine. 20 trucks. Folks, we do 2 trucks for Flakesgiving. Mm-hmm. Egypt's going to give them 20 for the whole population over there. And then they will close their border again. Now, the Israeli leader, Benjamin Netanyahu, said the entire civilized world must unite to defeat Hamas, period. The Biden administration, though, is going to run back to Congress, and they're going to ask for $2 billion of additional aid to send over to the people there. Biden on Wednesday also announced $100 million of new aid will go to those living in Gaza. And the West Bank, $100 million. Why didn't he have Saudi Arabia? Iran, his buddy there. None of those countries, they're right there. They're right next to them. Why don't these rich, oil-rich, wealthy nations give them aid? Why the American taxpayer? Why are we giving aid to those people when all of those wealthy countries who Biden is in bed with, right next door? Nope. We are. You are. You're going to provide the aid to those people. The two countries which flank Israel on opposite sides that share borders with Gaza and the Palestinian people, they are refusing to let any of them in. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi made his toughest remarks Wednesday, saying the war was just not aimed at fighting Hamas and terrorists. It's also an attempt to push those civilians into Egypt, and he warned that could wreck peace, and that's not going to happen. Jordan's King Abdullah II gave a similar message, saying, no refugees in Jordan and no refugees in Egypt. They're not opening their doors either. They're not going to send any money. They're not going to do anything to help those people in their own part of the country. But you are. You folks are. Refusing to drop out, Republican Representative Jim Jordan has brought the House Speaker's race now to a stalemate. After another vote yesterday, didn't get enough to get that speakership. There is a realization the House could remain stuck in this for a while. Keep in mind, it took 15 votes to get Kevin McCarthy in there. Next steps right now are uncertain. Lawmakers are floating some other options. Some holdout Republicans are talking about an extraordinary plan to give a temporary speaker more power to try to reopen the House. Don't know if that'll work or not. I'd like to know what Rosendale's plan was. I'd like to know what him and Gates and others. See, they had a plan to remove the speaker. Mm-hmm. So what was their plan on putting another one in? Did they have a plan? Did they know this would happen? Did they know we would not be able to get a speaker then? What was their alternative to the plan? They got the first part of it when they aligned with the Democrats, but what was the second part of the plan? So here we are now. We have no leader. Do they have any idea? Don't know. Our borders are wide open. We don't know who's coming in and what countries are coming from. 7 million. In the last 2.5 years. Most Americans, though, see our southern neighbors, Mexico, as having at least a friendly relationship with the United States. And also say Mexico and the U.S. should be responsible, though, for stopping all of the drug trafficking that's coming across that border and killing 100,000 people in this country now each year. Number one cause of death for our youngsters 18 to 49 in the United States, folks, is now drugs, number one killer. Most people have a favorable view of Mexico, and Mexican people, for the most part, hardworking, family-oriented people, but we need to fix the system and stop the fentanyl from coming across the border. The housing situation down in Cuba is getting critical. Buildings completely collapsing under the weight of their recent storms, lack of maintenance, years of neglect. It's estimated 40% of all of the homes in Cuba are in poor condition, on the verge of collapsing, falling down from the recent storms that hit there. Once again, another communist country led by a ruthless dictator. The Biden administration yesterday went back to the bank and announced $3.5 billion for 58 projects across the country to strengthen our electrical grid's resilience to weather events, like the ones we saw in Maui. Jennifer Granholm said the announcement marks a federal investment into our grid infrastructure. Funding will support projects to harden our electrical systems and improve energy reliability and affordability. Federal spending combined with money promised by private partners could result in $8 billion worth to try to upgrade our grid to withstand a natural disaster or an extreme weather event, worsened by climate change, of course. They wanted to get that one in yesterday. The grid, as it is, currently sits, it's not equipped to handle all the new demand and withstand these natural disasters. A lot of business news yesterday. Telecom gear maker Nokia said they're planning to cut 14,000 jobs worldwide. That's 16% of their workforce. Got to reduce cost. Plunge in third quarter sales and profits. Number one cost for all businesses all around the world, labor. World shares tumbled today, a retreat on Wall Street, as big companies were delivering mixed profit reports. Our S&P fell 1.3%. The Dow lost over 300 points. NASDAQ fell 1.6. Crude oil fell back a little day after, yesterday after jumping the day before. Gold prices also lower yesterday. Tesla has reported that its net income slumped in the third quarter versus a year ago. Price cuts to drive sales also cut into their profits for the year. Delta Airlines will move slowly in tweaking their frequent flyer program after customers complained loudly about the changes they announced in September. On Wednesday, Delta said they dialed back some of the spending thresholds they announced last month in order for you to reach elite status. Delta outlined their revisions in an email. CEO said he read hundreds of consumer emails and saw the disappointment that many felt with the changes, so they're dialing them back. We told you yesterday about United Airlines. They're going to start boarding passengers in economy class with the window seats first. Then they'll do the middle seats. Then they will do the aisle seats. Issued the memo to all their employees. The changes will take effect October 26. They think they can get planes out quicker with less boarding time. Netflix has disclosed their summertime subscriber gains that actually surpassed what analysts thought. Video streaming services cracked down on password sharing. So in other words, you freeloaders out there had to start paying. Couldn't just share Netflix passwords anymore. That led to an increase in their profits for the month. Starbucks and the union that wants to organize its workers sued each other Wednesday in a standoff sparked by a social media post over the Israel-Hamas war. Starbucks said a pro-Palestinian social media post from a Starbucks worker united account angered hundreds of customers. Starbucks wants workers to stop using its name and logo. Starbucks workers posted this solidarity with Palestine and Hamas thing on Twitter, and Starbucks automatically started getting complaints by the thousands then from people around the country. Net worth of a typical U.S. household grew more than it has in the last 30 years. One reason, household wealth is growing. The midpoint between the richest and the poorest households, though, jumped 37%. The Federal Reserve reported the net worth now of an average person, 193,000. That includes home, everything you have. Some stocks yesterday that traded heavily. United, obviously, they were in the news. Winnebago was down yesterday, Mark. Maybe it's a good time to buy that RV you've always wanted.
There's never a bad time to shop for an RV.
Procter & Gamble was up $3.70 a share. They're the maker of Tide laundry detergent, Charmin toilet paper. They had a strong fiscal quarter here recently. Visitation in Yellowstone Park took a big jump, no doubt due to the weather. 838,000 people visited Yellowstone Park in September. That is a 48% increase from where it was at September last year. So, good month for the park. And Oscar-nominated actor Burt Young has died. He's the one that played Polly, the angry, grumbling best friend and brother-in-law of Sylvester Stallone in six of the Rocky's movies. So his sister was the one married to Rocky.
Mm-hmm. Adrian.
And Adrian.
He was, Burt Young was also Rodney Dangerfield's bodyguard and limo driver in Back to School.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You didn't catch that?
Didn't see those, Mark. Thanks. Anyway, he died yesterday, and he was only 83.
In sports, watched a couple of things last night. Watched the WNBA championship flipping back and forth between channels. The first half reminded me of my daughter's sixth grade basketball game when it was miss after miss after miss. And a couple of big runs. Each team led for a little bit. And Las Vegas wins by one to seal back-to-back titles for them. And then the Astros won last night. And I think it's interesting when they're talking about the Astros. Seventh straight year that they've been to this part of the tournament. And they don't talk about the year they cheated, though. That's all forgiven. Mm-hmm. That was, we let that go, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got their bats working last night. 78 degrees today and partly sunny. Looks pretty good. 77 tomorrow. They backed off on the weather for next week, even though we still have a chance of some moisture and some colder temps. Not as bad as we had earlier in the week. Looks like the best chance for moisture now is going to be on Monday at 60%, about a 30% there on Wednesday with some cooler temps, but not as much snow, which is good. Downtown now it's 50, 648. That's what's happening. Mark and Paul here together. Game day today. Thanks for tuning into the Cat.